Well, I want to welcome each one of you into the service this evening. I appreciate everybody sitting up front. Makes the singing go a whole lot better. You know, as I thought about the song service this evening, I don't proclaim to be a professional singer, but I like to sing. And I believe it's a way to praise God in a different form. And it can be very uplifting. You know, a lot of times as a younger boy, I was thinking about it this week, a lot of times when I was angry, I would go into my room and turn on music. And after you'd hear music for a while, it couldn't help but lift your spirits, and you could no longer be angry again. Music has a way of doing that. Lifting our souls is a way of praising God. And I hope that each one of us can think about the words this evening as we sing, as we honor and glorify God in our singing. In the order of our service this evening, we're going to have I'm going to lead a couple songs here, and then we're going to have devotional, and then later on we'll have take requests if anybody has a favorite or anything. So get your request ready, and some of them will take some requests. But let's start by number 113 in the Green Hymnal.
Thank you.
Number 50. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm.
What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Welcome to you this evening. Thank you for coming to share in our hymn sing service. The scripture that I am going to read tonight is Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, through chapter 2, verse 4. The reason I picked this section is because of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, which reads, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This verse reflects Fanny Crosby's walk of faith, expressed by the song she wrote, Blessed Assurance. That song is my youngest son's, Nolan's, his favorite song. The song says, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." So let's praise our Savior all this evening, and let's make our song our story as we go through this next week that we're going to be going through. Phoebe Knapp, a friend of Fanny Crosby, composed a melody to Blessed Assurance, not knowing what the song would be before when she composed it. When Knapp played the new melody for Crosby on a piano, she asked Crosby, "What do you think the tune says?" When she was just playing it to her. And Crosby replied, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." That's what the song said to her. According to studies, the sense of smell is the most closely linked to memories, and I believe that that is true. But I think the second most thing that is linked to memories is what we hear. More specifically, the tune or the melodies of things that we hear. That is why advertisers use a jingle or a melody to help us remember them by. If you hear that again, then you're going to remember who that was. So tonight, I think from the words of that song that we can make precious memories and perfect submission, as the song says. So I'm going to read here Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to chapter 2, verse 4. "For to me to live is Christ," 19. "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is my fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, in let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So here Paul states to live is Christ, and he states to live on in the flesh will mean fruit for his labor. It's wonderful to me with this passage that he didn't question whether he will produce fruit. For Paul, to live equals producing fruit. For all who are able, let's kneel as we pray.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, is shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith,
in his great love.
Of the nails in his hands.
How Great Thou Art. It's another one that I would consider a favorite of mine. It's kind of an emotional song as we realize, as we look to God and realize who He is. And that's kind of how the song was written. I'll read the story here about how it came about. How Great Thou Art had its beginnings in 1886 in southern Sweden, in the home and the author and editor of Carl Buberg, a member of the Swedish Parliament from 1912 to 1931. The song was known in several countries before it finally reached the shores of the United States. Buberg said of one of the writing of his song, it was 1885, and in the time of the year when everything seemed to be in its richest coloring. The birds were singing in trees wherever they could find a perch. On a particular afternoon, friends and I had been to Kronobach, where we had participated in an afternoon service. As we were returning, a thunderstorm began to appear on the horizon. We had to hurry to shelter. Thunder pealed in loud claps, and the lightning flashed across the sky. Strong winds swept across the meadows and billowing fields of grain. However, the storm was soon over, and the clear sky appeared with a beautiful rainbow. After reaching my home, I opened my window towards the sea. There eventually had been a funeral because the church bells were playing the tune of a hymn. The same evening, I wrote a poem which I entitled, A Store Good, How Great Thou Art. The poem was later sent to a Swedish folk tune in 1907. Manfred translated it into German, and 5 years later, a Russian pastor made a Russian copy. In the early 1920s, the Reverend and Mrs. Stuart Hine left their home in England and went to Poland as missionaries. It was there they learned the Russian version of Buberg's song, A Store Good. Hine then wrote original English lyrics and made his own arrangement of the Swedish melody. And so now we have the How Great Thou Art. J. Edward Orr introduced Hine's translation of How Great Thou Art to audiences in the United States. In 1957, it began to orbit around the world by the way of Billy Graham's New York Crusade, where it was sung 99 times. It was reported that many years after the song was introduced in America, Stuart Hine visited our country and was honored with banquets and other forms of recognition. He was saddened by all the applause that came his way. His thoughts were that people should be honoring the God of the song instead of the author of the song. A great portion of the royalties from the sale of the song, which went to Hine, was given to other ministries for the Lord and to people in need. In my possession is a prized copy of How Great Thou Art in the Russian language. All four of the men who helped bring us this song carefully preserve the awesome message. I also held in my hand the original letter to Hine's daughter, dated March 16, 1989, which contained the somber news that Stuart Hine had died peacefully in his sleep 2 days before. He was 92, thus in quiet dignity ended the life on earth of a man who brought us this great song. O Lord, how great are thy works. Psalm 92:5 is where it originated from. So let's sing this song, How Great Thou Art, number 138. I also like to do something a little bit different. To emphasize the words here, I'm not sure the two songs I normally like to do this, we had already sung. But 138, what I would like to do is let's all sing verse 1. And then I want just the guys to sing verse 2, and then verse 3, the ladies, and then everybody back together on verse 4. So let's sing all four verses of this song. 138.
Oh Lord my God. Our hands have been.
Have you by temptation all things conquered?
Oh.
Did you ever stop and think about the time that was put into these songs, writing these songs, and we have two books of them here to sing from? So my prayer this evening is that these songs will minister to each one of us as we go throughout the coming days and the weeks ahead. And we would remember these songs and have one song we're going to sing in closing. Before we do that, let's stand for a word of prayer.